Hi, and welcome to an episode of China on the Rocks, a podcast where we talk about China, FOB, and everything in between. I am Logan. I'm joined by my awesome, cool, not Star Wars wearing, but kind of cool t-shirt wearing host.
He's never going to let it go, but hi, guys. I'm Anna.
And Anna, what's going on today?
It's a different day. It's a special day.
We are in the taco truck. We are a little bit of a holiday inebriation because it is.
Well, I don't know what holiday it is, but we have a special guest today.
Well, it's a Cheryl day, so it's a holiday.
Oh, it's a shadow day. So we have Cheryl here, and she's our homie today. And we are going to be talking marketing because Cheryl is a marketing girl and she's great at it. And she has worked with both of her venues and she has a lot of experience. And we're going to get there. But before we get there, I feel like there's a tradition.
Yeah, there's a tradition that we have to uphold.
And that's called a shot.
It's a shot.
And the shot we're having today, Logan, what are we drinking?
We're drinking Fernet Branc.
The right, a bartender's handshake.
Now, in full disclosure, we've recorded this 3 times because we've messed up so many times.
Yeah, we've been failing today. We've been off topic, and you want to make sure that we get the best content for you guys.
It's take three. So we might be a little bit more excited than normal.
Many shots. But also, let's get to the real nitty-gritty here.
Nitty-gritty, hit me.
Cheryl is incredible. She's been doing marketing for over 10 years. She has worked with bars, restaurants, clubs, events, all sorts of things. She also worked for a Michelin star restaurant that got its like raise in the fucking popularity. And it all comes from, the key word is marketing. And that's what we're talking about today.
Marketing.
And I'm so glad she's here. And please, Cheryl, say hello to our listeners.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
Now, Cheryl is totally cool. She does a lot of interesting things. Like, I am too old for Instagram. Cheryl is not. Same thing with Facebook. Xiaohong Chu, that's a little red book. Cheryl knows all these connections that you can't think of. But with F&B, you need these connections.
I'm going to get a little grease on the wheels here, but Cheryl is incredible because when you think about popularity on Instagram, when you think about marketing, I think a lot of people think about, you know, your annoying Instagram girl that wants to take photos and just get like popularity. Like, no, she's a professional. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to get in touch with your customers. She knows what you need to do, what you don't need to do.
She has over 500 followers.
Okay. I have more than that. Everybody.
That's true though, right?
Look, Logan has
525 followers.
she has like 10 followers at least.
Over? I said over.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, but at the end of the day, like, Cheryl does an incredible work when it comes to F&B venues, when it comes to businesses, and she knows how to manage us F&B people that sometimes are very confident about our own branding, but really clueless when it comes to our businesses.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Like, I've always been good at branding myself. Like, I was very fortunate. I came up through nightclubs. I've done bars my whole life. I was very, very lucky. I was a brand ambassador. I had a bar called Logan's Punch before social media was a big thing. And then I did nightclubs again. And I did Talkalicious with my good friends. And I was very fortunate to be in a position where people knew my name. But having somebody that does marketing, it enhances you. And it makes you a little bit better.
So, Logan, before we grill our homie and Cheryl about him, what is your experience in F&B marketing?
Oh, it would always be like really dumb WeChat moments from the account, or like I would try to do my best at Canva and Photoshop and just, you know, it is a lot of work and you have to be on it constantly. But if you have somebody that could do marketing with you, it makes it a lot more of a journey versus of a trek.
I will agree and disagree. I think that for me, when it came to the artwork, the design and all that, yes, you know that I have a background in art. I'm a designer. So I never had an issue with that. The problem with marketing that I learned over the years is that messaging is what's important. And I felt that every time you start a new project, it's really easy to be really excited and do that really well for the first like 2-3 months. And to be honest, yeah, at the beginning, you don't really need a marketing person. But the thing is, a business outlives that excitement. A business is something that has to be alive and exciting and happening and messaging and strong for a long time. And I used to maybe, in a way, and I'm being very honest here, think that like, I can do my own marketing. Why would I pay somebody to do marketing? I can do that. And then you get caught up with all the other 1,000 things you have to do in your business. And you realize that marketing kind of gets neglected and it kind of becomes something that you keep telling yourself you're going to do tomorrow, but you don't do it.
Well, that's, I mean, these are the pitfalls and the obviously high mountain reaches that you have as being your own boss. You're dependent on yourself. Everything you do is going to be at a level. You have to do this.
Yeah, but you have a distorted view, right? So you think like, okay, I'm training my staff. I created the concept. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm going to also do marketing. And then suddenly you realize that marketing is not what you thought it was. Marketing is not just putting a photo on Instagram before servers saying, it's awesome, come hang out. And in a while, you lose that power of messaging. So we need marketing professionals. And for everybody at home, if you open your own business, look, please don't overlook marketing unless you really can't afford and you have to wing it. But if you can't do it, it's worth the investment. You have returns on it.
Well worth it. Get a marketing person. Like we've been very fortunate. Like Cheryl's been a friend of mine, so I know Cheryl hasn't really been like piping up too much of the podcast yet, and we'll get that. She's awesome. But like for example, Cheryl, Anna, and I, we are very close old friends, and like we all have the same keychains because lockdown we played a lot of the games together. We are actually good friends. So when Cheryl was telling me I could help you with marketing, I was like, yes, I'm in.
But then I have questions for someone that actually works on the other side, on the marketing side. I want to know from Cheryl. No, Cheryl.
The reason I'm saying is, as a business owner, you need to have, I think marketing, anything creative, you need to have a little bit of a personal connection versus just somebody like, I can hire you off the street. I don't know you. Because I'm a creative, Anna, I know you're creative. Like, obviously, we're doing a podcast. We are creatives. We have our own idea of where things go. But like if you have a friend that's with you that's a creative, that's also a plus point. So Cheryl, this is when you jump in and say something awesome.
I have a question for everybody. Being again, like guys, Cheryl is incredible. She literally got like she really worked as a team to be sure they got Michelin stars. What I wanna know is I know they're laughing, friends. Yeah, I get it. But I'm saying a real question is, what do you think is the biggest thing the businesses should focus about when they're doing their marketing?
Okay, well, I think at the end of the day, this might sound cliche, but you know, they say customers always right. And so for a business owner, of course, it's super important to have your personality, your clear vision and mission that you want to portray and that you're trying to deliver, but it's important to have an open mind and listen to what trends there are or what your customer base is trying to tell you. It might change. You just have to be flexible. And in Shanghai, you have a great mix of the foreigner community. And of course, you want to also listen to your local customers. You really need to be flexible and adapt. And so I think in terms of Tacolicious, they do a great job with being creative and fusion and trying to make Mexican food and accessible to the local market as much as it is to the expat community as well.
Also, we had a conversation earlier, so I'm going to open the door. As you all know in the podcast, I owned my bar, Postal Bills, which was my baby. And for whatever happened, it was very successful, very happy the moment that I was there. But also, I can look back at all my shortcomings. And I think one of my shortcomings was not marketing enough to local people. I think I wasn't focused on that. And Cheryl, I would like to know your opinion on it. Like, give me some feedback.
Yeah, definitely. I think personal bills. I loved being a part of the WeChat group. It was always super engaging. You know, it was a very fun WeChat group to follow. But at the same time, like Anna mentioned, it's important to reach out to the local customers. And postal bills, it was such a cool concept. Like, I know so many Chinese people who would love to get to experience this kind of dive bar and enjoy your cocktails and your food and the different events. So I think definitely could have used maybe, for example, different platforms like Redbook and Dianping to reach out to the local community more.
And to be honest, I want your criticism on this, but I already kind of agree. I think that if we could have redone it, I think I would have invested in marketing. I think one of the mistakes that I made was thinking that my own popularity and my own connection with customers was enough. And I catered a good amount of regular customers, but I wasn't good at reaching out to the community, right? And I understand that's a failure, obviously. But I also think that that's one of the notes that I'll give to anybody listening. Like, please invest in somebody that creates business development, that creates you meeting new people and interacting to other people. So I'm 100% with you. Like, I think that I could have done better. And hey, maybe next time.
I mean, with a city like Shanghai, of course, there's a huge expat community, but they come and go, right? Especially with COVID, we lost a lot of foreign businesses and, of course, foreign customers. So in that sense, it's always important to have a strong Chinese customer base as well. And with concepts like Talkalicious and Postal Bills, it's actually very new and exciting for Chinese customers, I think. So there's a lot, of potential there.
What do you think are the differences when you're doing market? Obviously, we work in Western places that we own, so like Talkalicious or Postal Bills. The Western market, we know how to reach. Like, we know what to sell to them that works, right? Like, we don't have an issue with that. But when it comes to the local crowd, we are a little bit foreign to it. Literally, we're foreign to it. What do you think are the key things to reach out as a foreign business to Chinese consumers?
These days, I think Dianping is still used very often.
But I mean the messaging. Like, do you need to be the best food or do you need to be the most great experience? Or do you have to be the most accessible? Like, what is the key selling point for Chinese customers?
It's still Dianping.
Sure. Yeah. In Dianping, you could be the place that is like, I had a great experience. Sure. Like, the place that I had great food.
Actually, environment, atmosphere is huge too for F&B. Like, Redbook, they talk about like the hashtags, the keywords. It talks about which best environment, which like restaurant has the best environment. That's key. That's super highly searched. So, food obviously is very important, but as also your environment, how well Instagrammable or photographable the whole place and dishes are too.
For the people at home, I'm just going to explain real quick. So the red book, the little red book that she's talking about is a social media in China, which is called Xiao Hong Shu, which means small red book. And it's a combination of like Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok. So there are videos, there are shorts, there are photos, but you can also create albums and you can also create things that you like. And it's basically a place for inspiration. It's very like if Douyin, which is a version of TikTok, is very popular here, but they tend to be a younger crowd and they tend to be very straightforward memes and videos. Xiaohongshu is more like when you save all the stuff that you like and you put it in folders and you follow the restaurants that you like and you follow things that you like. It's almost like again, if Instagram was a little more complex, that's what it is. And I think it's massive. Yeah, I've been really bad at it. I have two accounts. I had one for my business. I had one personal for my art. I'm really bad at maintaining it because I think they require a lot of daily maintenance. You have to post all the time. You have to be active all the time to keep the
algorithm. Stay relevant.
Yeah, you have to stay relevant for the algorithm to work, right? But my question that I'm going to get to is, like, regardless of the avenue that you're going to use it. If you're going to use Xiaohongshu or Instagram or whatever you're going to use, what are the selling points that work best? Is it the personality? Is it the environment? Is it the food? Is it the price? What is the like top basically like, recipe that works when you're trying to create a marketing strategy? You know what I mean? Like, is it like, hey, great deals here, come here? Or is it the vibes here are amazing? Or is it the person behind it is incredibly talented? Like, what is the, and you look at China as a market, what is the one that like gets more appeal?
In Shanghai, you hear Wang Hong a lot, right? Like celebrity blogger or celebrity chef. So obviously that works, that sells, but that might get your customers in once, but consistency at the end of the day is what will keep them coming back. So having, let's say, a celebrity chef, a celebrity dish, that's huge, but the consistency is what's going to bring them back and what will guarantee you, I guess, longevity.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing about working, operating in different countries is like you're seeing new people and new experiences. Like for us, for a taco restaurant that was made by an American, a Dutch, and a British lady, we are very fortunate like to have different experiences every day. I will never take that away. But like, yeah, you have to see for the Chinese perspective, and that's why you need a good marketing person to say, okay, how do we make these perspectives blend? Now, with that said, Anna, I think you have some knowledge to drop on us. This is called the most awkward transfer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going for Reddit stories.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go for Reddit stories, guys. All right. So, our first Reddit story is, am I the asshole for North...
Are you the asshole?
Yeah. Well, obviously. If you're going on Reddit, you probably... No. Anyway, am I the asshole for not sharing a free meal with my anti-Instagram boyfriend? I'll read the story. Hold on. Do you guys have judgments already?
Also, I'm going to just say Cheryl's the asshole.
I mean, it depends on how big the meal is, right?
Okay, let me read the story.
The size that counts.
I post my food pics from when I go out to eat on Instagram. It's just for fun. I spend like 30 minutes a week. Top. My boyfriend is a very sweet guy in many ways, but one thing that I'm not so much a fan of is that he often hops on the bandwagon of hating of innocent things. That's a really weird phrasing of all of that.
Yeah,
hating on sweet. Yeah, okay. Not just not liking something, but making sure somebody knows he doesn't really like something. Okay. And then I'll ignore this because I'm almost agreeing with this, but she's like, I can't help but notice a theme. He doesn't like pumpkin spice lattes, pouty selfies, Taylor Swift.
Fuck like, you.
Mm.
Asshole.
Oh, yeah. Taylor Swift is Logan likes the Tay Tay.
I love Tay Tay.
I don't, but I don't hate it.
He's a Swifty.
I'm a Swifty.
And then continues. As I can guess, he's not a fan of the food pics and thinks it's very annoying and cringe that I take photos of my meal. He doesn't even follow my Instagram, even though he has an Instagram account.
I don't follow her Instagram either.
I don't know what she is.
She's the asshole.
But it continues. Let's continue the story.
She said no to Tay Tay. I'm sorry.
No. This is the mistake here.
She's an asshole.
She says that her boyfriend has a pattern of not only not liking things, but hating things that are very popular. Her boyfriend hates selfies with duck lips and hates people that like Tay Tay and blah blah blah. Like it's more of a
PSL pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, pumpkin spice latte. She just means that her boyfriend likes anything that's really trendy. But continuing the story. Even though I don't have that many followers, I have started getting occasionally offers and invitations by restaurants in my city that would like me to review the food and take photos in exchange for for free meals. Sounds great. Hey, girl, you do you. Nothing crazy. No steak dinners so far, but I've gotten a few sandwiches and a few beverages for free. Good for her. Continue the story. Well, I just hit the big leagues and I got invited to a new restaurant opening that includes a free appetizer and entry for me and one guest. I immediately invited one of my Instagram friends who I hope going out to eat.
Yeah.
I hope to go out to meet several times. My boyfriend got pissed.
He's the asshole.
And he said he was going out of spite. I really think why, and there's a lot of comments here for the feelings, but anyway.
God, she's an asshole for writing this boring.
If the restaurant is giving me a free food in exchange for a post, I'm going to put more effort into the post and spend a few extra minutes making sure that everything is good and the shots are good. And I'd rather do it with somebody who isn't going to sigh and roll their eyes for the whole thing. Also, I think it's pretty audacious of my boyfriend to be actively unsupportive of any of the activities that I like that don't hurt him. But also, he expected to get a free meal out of this. He wasn't successful. Am I the asshole?
He's the asshole.
I think he's the biggest asshole, but I also feel like her post is also everybody's asshole. This is not worth going on the Reddit at all.
That was so boring. It's like why? Why would you do that?
I think everybody's the asshole. You know why? I think he's the asshole for not respecting her job and not caring. Sure.
What was her job? Being a nerd?
Again, it's not her job. Yeah, it's just... look.
Oh, she thought she was a KOL and she was a really...
Yeah, excited. She thought she was an influencer. But no, same thing. He's an asshole because she's not respectful to his partner. Regardless of what she likes. Maybe she likes chess. And he has to not shit on chess,
she
right?
She does not like chess.
No, but he's a shit on things. But also...
She's playing Clue all day.
You know, sometimes my clue of being an asshole is... If you have to go on Reddit with a day-to-day mundane experience...
Oh,
you're an asshole.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
Like, you go there for troubles. You go there for, like, my sister's mother, cousin, marry my father, fuck my boyfriend. Something. You're like, okay, yo, this is here. I'm here for it. I want the gossip.
We're not on Chinese.
I want to see stuff. The shit.
Like, American stuff.
Like, don't bring me that.
It wasn't my jammer.
Like, am I the asshole because my boyfriend doesn't support my Instagram job that is not a job that I don't make money out of it and doesn't want the free meal?
Okay, Cheryl, what do you think? You're our guest.
Let's find a more interesting story.
That's what I always say.
Look, we're going
also, by... he's asshole.
You've taken to saying asshole a lot really well.
Like... In all fairness, guys, listeners, I do it blind. I just find interesting titles. And then we go for the title. And we're really blind. So, yes, I haven't crossed this. This is obvious, the poster.
You have it now.
Everybody's an asshole. Everybody's an asshole.
We wanted to find more stories where somebody was the asshole, so... What do we got, Hannah?
Oh, you want to know the verdict on Reddit?
Yes.
Okay, the verdict on Reddit is not the asshole.
Oh, that bitch is an asshole.
Do you know the top comment?
It's how I get in trouble. She's not an asshole.
The top comment is too big, I don't care, but it's basically saying that you're doing what you love. He doesn't have to join it. I mean, it's a massive post, but it means that. So, yeah.
Well, I would want to say to you, what have you been drinking this week, Anna?
Drinks I've been drinking? I've drank... Oh, we're not talking alcoholic necessarily, right?
No.
You know my favorite thing this week is... I like sour plums in China. They have, especially this season, they have a lot of plums.
Mm.
And they dry with salt. So they make like almost like when you're talking about your raisins or your... like apricots and all that, but they, instead of just drying the fruit, they dry it in salt. So you have the salted plums that have been dried from being like salted.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right? My favorite thing is to make just normal iced tea, like black tea, lemon, sugar, water, whatever, and then just throw a fucking dry plum in it, a salted dry plum in it, and you end up with like a iced tea Gatorade / plummy drink, and it's delicious. And I've been, because it's been hot, it's been like my favorite drink.
That sounds great. Cheryl, what have you been drinking this week?
So I just came back from Bali.
Tell
and
it
was amazing. I had so much green juice called pressed green juice, But also, I made it a point to drink jamu every day. Have you heard of jamu? Have you had jamu?
No, what is jamu?
So jamu is actually an Indonesian health tonic made using turmeric. So super anti-inflammatory. And it was perfect. Like, I really needed it this time because I sprained my ankle on my first night.
Tell us more.
I sprained my ankle not drinking jamu, not drinking
How did you answer all my questions right away?
But yeah, anyways,
drink jamu.
Have turmeric if you have any inflammation in your body, including a sprained ankle.
Okay, so you were drinking jamu. Jamu is turmeric. Turmeric is like a yellowish?
Yeah, like a yellowish root.
Does it taste good? Does it taste bad?
Well, the jamu...
Do you have a lot of turmeric in America?
I don't know what any of these words she's saying.
Oh, really? Okay.
I know what turmeric is.
I'm from a country that we eat a lot of.
Yeah, it's used in curry. The taste is very specific, but the jamu in Indonesia is usually mixed with ginger, honey, black pepper. So I think I love the taste.
Jamu? And
I like the taste, too.
We use the jamu?
No, it's like a juice.
And then, so you were drinking jamu. It's like a nerd. What were you drinking, Anna? What cool thing were you drinking?
I already answered.
I know you already answered. I'm going to answer in a second.
I'm thinking about, like, jamu. I'm thinking, like, it has galangal as well, which is, like, Southeast Asian ginger.
Uh-huh.
But for everybody back home, like, turmeric is a spice, is a root that's made, like, you can get your powder very easily in America. If you go to a supermarket, you find, like, a turmeric powder, which is a dried version. But in Asia, you can get it, like...
Fresh.
Natural fresh.
And juiced.
Yeah.
Especially
which is basically
Asia.
Similar to a ginger. Then you have the galangal, yeah. Which is a similar type of ginger, but less spicy, but also more like pungent. Get ginger, lime.
You have also tamarind, pandan sometimes. A lot of different ingredients used in different jamus.
Jamu comes from what is that? Is that Indonesian or?
Yes.
So I keep thinking like, we're jamu.
Jamu with
you. What have I been drinking? Oh, well, good question, ladies. I like this where this is going because somebody's got to make this podcast fun because I don't know what's going off the rails here. But today we were talking about jamu. What did I drink today?
Skinny bits.
So
what's what it's called?
Yeah, I'm drinking a vodka soda as of now, but that was not what my
oh, drink. And I'm the only one off track here. Come on, guys, talk to the microphone.
I'm talking to the microphone. So, guys, what I was drinking was actually really interesting. So, there's something called matcha. Matcha is a very cool drink from South America. It's made
like mate.
Mate.
Matcha is Japanese green tea.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mate. Sorry. But mate I was drinking, it comes in a really cool like wooden cup with a metal spoon.
Akuya.
Yeah. I'm not South American.
Oh, I'm translating.
Thanks.
So he drank mate out of akuya.
Yes, out of akuya. From my ai, from Anhui.
I don't know why.
But yeah, so I was drinking that with some gin in it because I have a friend named Cheryl, and she had these things called
raw greens powder from My Rituals.
Yes, and I thought, how can I drink this better? Because I wanted something that was interesting, but how can I spice this up? So I wanted some cucumber, some high seas gin, and then I put in a little bit of raw greens rituals in this word that I can't pronounce.
Kuya.
Kuya. And that's what I was drinking.
Okay, I'll give you a little bit of background. So mate is actually a tea leaf. It's just at a certain age, certain variety. I don't know specifically, but it has more concentrated caffeine. Not a lot of other teas. It's very common yerba mate you hear, which is a...
I was awake like a firework on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's a South American classical drink. It's traditionally drinking a kuya, which is made out of... I actually know it's like a gourd. They dry and they make like a bowl out of it. And the metal straw is only to strain the leaves.
Mm.
But you put the powder on it or put the grinded leaves in it. You put the hot water. But then you drink that throughout the day, and it's a highly concentrated caffeine. It's actually really good for your metabolism, as long as you don't overdo it. It's really healthy, and it's like it tastes like a if green tea was more earthy, because it's very like earthy flavor. Yeah.
Now, Anna, do you have any F&B horror stories?
I know what you're talking about. Earlier, when we were talking about it, I have a horror story.
So, guys, listening at home, you know, we are actually really good friends. So, I know Anna, like I know the back of my hand sometimes.
I'll tell the story. It's unrelated to this episode, but when I was 20 years old, I worked at a casino.
The same casino that we talked about last week?
Well, I don't want to... Well, I'm not going to bring names or anything. I don't want to get involved. So anyway, I worked in this casino.
So Anna sometimes forgets that she's getting older. Okay, guys, we're going to switch up the podcast a little bit and talk about what music have you been listening to? Because sometimes I can ask my friends, what have you been drinking? Cheryl just went to Bali. Cheryl, what you been listening to, girl?
I just came back from the Bali Spirit Festival. It was my first time, and it was just so amazing. I got introduced to the Yawanawa tribe singers. They're a group of indigenous musicians from the heart of the Brazilian Amazon rainforest. And just listening to their music, it was super amazing. So ever since coming back, I've been listening to them on Spotify. This is really beautiful music. Yeah, I really recommend it.
Anna, you got a tank top on. You got a vape pen in your hand. You got beautiful red hair.
I know, it's a little kind of on her, but not like I'm not big into the spiritual area. I'm not big into meditation, anything like that. But I have been into, it's a classic old song, but recently I think talking to my parents or for TV or something, there's an older like Brazilian like popular song that has been like coming up to me in this week.
At the Copacabana.
Well, not that old, but I'm saying like there's a song called Eu Te Devoro. By Javan, and it's been like a tune that has been like literally I was driving here to meet you guys up for the podcast and I was listening to that song and I just
love this song. Some Javan. So legally, so I don't have to pay for anything, it's 15 seconds.
Maybe you tell your song first and maybe I'll end the podcast singing it.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I was listening to Rancid because I like Black Cat, Black Shoes, Cadillac. I had a Rancid moment, so I don't know if anybody's over 43, you get a punk revival.
I have a punk revival.
And sometimes in the shower, you get a punk revival. So I was listening to a lot of Rancid lately.
Oh, yeah, because we had the trivia night there.
Yeah, I enjoy me some Rancid. So we all did trivia. We were very fortunate that we were not a bad group. And Cheryl, can you tell us, because you have the best voice of all of us, what was our trivia name? She forgot. So, Anna, what was our...
Sorry.
That's not how to use a microphone. Anna, what was our punk rock name?
Touch Me Where You Quiz Weird.
Our name was Quiz Me Where It Smells Funny.
Oh,
see? It's way too long, Logan.
So close enough. Anyway, guys.
And that's how we end the podcast.
And this is how I run away. This is how I run away for not having to sing the song. But anyway, great, guys. Thanks for seeing you. Follow us on
like,
free listener podcast.
Yeah. Sire, Brian, we love you guys. Thank you so much.
Mwah.